Good evening, everybody. It's good to be here with you. And we are in week 9, forgetfulness. And I have to tell you that this is one of those questions that I think I've mentioned when we've been here studying in the past, that this is one of my questions for God. God, why do I forget? We study, we learn, we know how great He is, and then we forget. And I don't know why, but it just furthers how much we have to work to keep pulling close to Him. So in book 2, we are at now that God speaks to Moses and wants to prepare His people for His presence. He provides the 10 words or the commandments and reiterates the covenant that He has, providing the book of the covenant. And the Israelites repeat over and over again, "We'll do everything that you say." And God lays out this very detailed plan of our tabernacle and all the articles in the tabernacle, and everything that is needed has already been provided, and the Israelites give it willingly. And then God lays out the priestly garments, the duties in serving, and then we end up this week on forgetfulness. And over and over and over, the Israelites say, "All the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do." So we pick up this week's story for Exodus 32 to 34, and we open with Moses up on the mountain, and he's receiving all of this instruction from God, this beautiful time of being with God after God shows himself to Moses and Aaron and 70 of the elders on Mount Sinai, and God's presence has descended down on the mountain like fire, like scary, intimidating. His presence is known and it's there. And Moses, he goes up there, he's called to go up alone, and he's there 40 days receiving all these wonderful instructions from the tabernacle. And I just have this picture of him having conversations, all this deep stuff. You guys read it? There was a lot there, right? And it was like, wait, I got to flip back a few pages and go through it again. And I can just picture Moses going, "Yep, got that. Wait, can you repeat that one more time?" And, you know, writing all of these things down. And he's going through all of this, and then God hands him these tablets that he wrote on with his finger, and then he interrupts Moses, and he says to Moses, "Go down, because your people, whom you've brought out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They've been quick to turn away from what I have commanded them, and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf, and they have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, Israel, who brought you out of Egypt.'" I can always imagine Moses go, "Wait, what? I'm getting all this good stuff. And then, like, I don't understand." I mean, it's almost like you feel like he's like, "Wait, my people? I brought out Egypt." So we talked about it in our group, and it's the same thing that came to me. This reminds me of, like, when your kids have been so bad and your spouse walks in and you go, "Do you know what your son did to me?" Because, you know, the minute a mom gives up their precious child to somebody else, they have screwed up big time, okay? So you've given them away. So this is God saying, "Your people that you brought out." And let's be real. Whose people are they? We've been reading about it over and over. God says, "These are my people. I'm bringing them out of Egypt," over and over and over again. So what on earth took the Israelites from "all the words that the Lord has spoken we will do" to "come make us God so we'll go before us"? That is the pull of sin. So the people were fearful that they hadn't seen Moses in over a month. They were wanting a visual God, somebody that they could see. Aaron, who had a front row seat for everything that has happened, front and center to everything God says, everything that he has done, all of the stuff that's going on, immediately crumbles and falls back into his comfort zone of what's happened in his past, the sin zone that he was in, and he tells the people to bring them all his gold, and he casts this idol in the shape of a calf. So this is obviously failures of several of God's commandments, right? The first one is that he is our God, no other gods before him. Second is, don't make any idols. Then there was the whole issue of don't commit adultery, right? So all of these things they've just obliterated in such a short period of time. And even with all that God has done to free the Israelites from Egypt, the people just forget. So this is why several times through Exodus, God has said over and over, "I'm going to put you to the test." He even took them the long way, brought them through the Red Sea and then down and around. And he tells us that the reason why he didn't give them the short route is because they wouldn't have been able to stand the test. They needed to bring their faith along the way. They have to unlearn things from their past and really learn what it's like to be a people of God. So the pull of sin is strong. It's ready to pull you away unless your spiritual muscles are there. They're not strong enough. You will be pulled. So these muscles only get strong through repetition, much like exercise. You need to continue to learn and study and use what God gives us and does for us. Don't ever think that this can't be you. I love what it says in Proverbs 4, 20 through 27. This is something that I go back to over and over again. And it says, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths of your feet and be steadfast in all your ways and do not turn to the right or left. Keep your foot from evil. So when God tells Moses what all the people have done, he says in verse 9 and 10, I have seen these people. They are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger can burn against them and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation. God gave Moses the opportunity to be the father of another nation. It actually says in Deuteronomy 9:14b, says it this way, and I will make you to a nation stronger and more numerous than they, meaning the Israelites. But Moses didn't take that opportunity to benefit himself. Instead, he immediately interceded for the people of Israel. Moses proceeds to remind God what he said he was going to do with his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. And he said, God, you swore this by yourself. Moses goes down the mountain and he finds an absolute mess. He becomes so angry that he breaks the tablets that God had made when he sees the people running wild. He calls out the believers and the Levites step up. They take out their swords as directed by Moses, and about 3,000 people die that day. This is all for their sin. Moses then melts down the golden calf, grinds it up, and puts it into the water for the people to drink. When Moses confronts Aaron, and he says, what happened? Moses says, well, the people, they were out of control, so I told them to take off their jewelry, throw it into the fire, and whoop! Out popped this golden calf. Don't you just want to say, really? Come on. So Moses confronts the people and tell them that they have committed a great sin and that he will go to the Lord and try to take atonement for their sin. So in chapter 33, we have this beautiful picture of Moses interceding for the Israelites. This is a foreshadowing of how Jesus intercedes on our behalf. Moses set up the tent of the meeting where he goes and he talks to the Lord face to face as one would speak with a friend. Man, in our group, we talked about this and said, we can't even fathom how awesome that would be. Like, pull up a chair, Jesus. Let's have a conversation, God. So how beautiful just to be able to speak to our Father as a friend. God said he isn't going to go to the promised land with the Israelites, but Moses pleads on their behalf, saying, teach me your ways, God. I want to find favor with you. Remind God again and again that he called the Israelites to be his people. I love Moses' words in 33, 15, and 16. It says, then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the earth? God, that's my prayer too. God finally says, since I continue to find favor with you, Moses, I will do as you ask, and I will go to the promised land. Moses then boldly asks, well, then show me your glory. And God knows that his glory is just too great for Moses, but he prepares a way for Moses to go and see God from behind in all of his glory. In chapter 34, Lord tells Moses to chisel out two more stones like the ones that he had broke and that he will write again on them. He's to bring the tablets to Mount Sinai, come alone, and present yourself. Moses does this and the Lord fulfills his promise to come in all his glory. So in Exodus 34, 6 through 9, it says, he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. That he does not leave the guilty unpunished, and he punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. Moses immediately bowed to the ground and worshiped the Lord. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, then let the Lord go with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people, forgive our wickedness and our sin, and take us as your inheritance." So these verses show the great intercession of Moses, just like Jesus does for us. It shows the unbelievable forgiveness, mercy, and grace that God has for his people, while showing his justice and punishment for those that sin. You see, there's always consequences for sin, but God does promise his forgiveness. And there is a big difference between consequences and forgiveness. You can and will be forgiven from God if you ask. However, there's always some kind of consequence for sin. So don't confuse the consequence that you may be facing as God abandoning you or withholding his forgiveness. They are two totally different things. You have been promised forgiveness when you ask. He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. So the Lord again keeps Moses for another 40 days and nights, sharing the rule that he has for his people. These rules are for safety and protection of his people, to prepare and to prosper them, to take them into the promised land. He stresses the need to stay away from other gods and idols, to celebrate all that God has done for them with their festivals and their offerings. This is again to strengthen the faith of the Israelites and to remind these stiff-necked people who is the Lord and all that he has done for them. So the Lord tells Moses to write it all down, share it with the Israelites, and then gives him the completed tablets again. And then we come to the end. When Moses is returning from the mountain, he doesn't know his face is shining so bright that the people are feared. It's so obvious that Aaron and the people are afraid to go near him, but Moses calls them to him. He will cover his face when he's with the people, but uncover his face when he goes to be with God. And this is where we end our story at this point. But what did we learn about God this week? Well, we learned that God is provider. He gives the people all that they need to create the tabernacle, the rules for his nation. We learned that he's a jealous God, that he's not willing to share his people with other little gods. God is full of mercy, hearing Moses' intercession on behalf of the people. God is holy, and we need an intercessor and a sacrifice to ensure that we can be in his presence. Thank you, Jesus, for being that sacrifice and intercession for us. God knows what is best for us, and he provides all that we need to be successful in relationship with him and with his people. God loves us and wants a relationship with us. He wants to dwell among us. God is good, abundantly giving us more than we deserve. And God is worthy to be praised for his provisions and remembered for his mighty works from generation to generation. And what have we learned about people? Well, we're stiff-necked people. God has patience, but we better be growing and learning. We sometimes forget the goodness of God, but we need to make a point to speak out about his worthiness and to be reminded of his goodness and his good deeds. This is to remind ourselves as well as those around us. We need to practice our faith in trusting and learning about our God, and God is a God of abundance and blessing, full of love, compassion, and mercy. Don't forget, during the occasional 40 days when we don't see what's going on around us, that's the time to exercise your faith. And God has given us his word to remind us of his promises, even if we feel like we're lost. Let's pray. Father, you are so worthy of all of our praise. You are so worthy of all of our attention. But yet we are still stiff-necked people sometimes. And so, Lord, thank you for giving Jesus to us to intercede for us and to continue to remind us to come back to you. Father, help us to be bold, to share that you what you have done, and to remind ourselves, remind others around, so that your name can be declared in all of this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week. It's locked. Thanks for doing